I want to talk today about baptism. Because next week we're going to go down to the river and we're going to have a very special baptism service. Now, some of you are saying, well, I know all about baptism, Jim. This is going to be boring. Well, just bear with us for a few minutes. Maybe it will, maybe it won't be. But I want to answer some questions a little bit about it, and I want to read from Scripture a little bit, and I want us to see, once again, the New Testament model of baptism. Because believe it or not, I get a lot of questions about what is baptism. And so next Sunday, we're going to celebrate after we've had lunch, and after we have, we've had our services, we've had lunch, we're going to go down to the river, and we're going to have a baptism service. And I just want people to know that aren't as familiar with the New Testament model of baptism, I just want us to know a little bit more about baptism. And so bear with me this morning as we talk a little bit about baptism, if you will. I want us to see what baptism is, and maybe even a little tiny bit of what it is not. But I want us to see this morning what baptism is. From our Free Methodist Book of Discipline, it says this: water baptism is a sacrament of the church, commanded by our Lord, signifying acceptance of the benefits of the atonement of Jesus Christ, to be administered to believers as declaration of their faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. In other words, it is saying it is simply a It is a sacrament which we keep, not unlike communion. It is a sacrament unto the Lord that we keep to signify our decision for Christ. And so, let me answer for you some questions in the few minutes that we have, and let us turn to some of the Scriptures. Tim may have some of these for us on the big screen. Otherwise, follow along in your Bible. I want to show us some New Testament models of baptism. Starting from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, let us begin to answer the question, why baptize? Mark chapter 1, John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. You remember the scenario. John, the wild man, looking man, comes to the river and he shouts, he begins to proclaim, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. You remember from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, that said, behold, I will send my messenger, that's John, and he will prepare the way. And so John has come shouting to the hillsides around the Jordan and the countrysides, repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he baptized them to show they were in fact recognizing they had something to repent of in preparation for the coming Messiah. And let me just say, although baptisms were rare at this time, they were rare because typically the only baptisms that took place was those Gentiles that had been converted to Judaism. They were baptized, and those were not all that common. And so when John stood there in the river crying out, repent and be baptized, this was a relatively new thing to most of them, to lots of them. Baptism with John, let me just say, did not produce repentance, hear me closely now, but was a signifier that repentance had taken place. You still with me? In other words, these people would come down to the river and they would say, John, baptize me because I have recognized I have things to repent of. And I have repented of my sin, so baptize me, John. John's rite of baptism, hear me close now, did not produce forgiveness of sin. It was only an outward confession that we were sinners, that they were sinners. And so they are acknowledging that as they come down into the river and said, John, baptize me. They were acknowledging they were sinners and they needed to repent of that sin. And as he shouted out to them from the river in preparation for the kingdom of God, that's what that baptism was all about. Then, when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit of God at Pentecost and were preaching the saving gospel message of Jesus, they began to baptize. And it was a signifying of a repentant heart, if you will, a changed heart, a forgiven heart, if you will, faith in Christ, and a commitment to Him as Lord. That's why they were baptized from Acts on. Because they had established, they had recognized Christ as Lord, recognized they were sinners, needed to repent, and indicated by receiving Him and trusting in Him as Lord, they then would be baptized to show the rest of society, I know Jesus. Let me give you a couple examples. Acts chapter 2, Paul's first Holy Spirit-inspired sermon from Acts chapter 2, beginning at 36, says, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said to them, 'Repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promises to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call.'" And verse 40 says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized." Received the word that he was proclaiming. The word that Christ is Savior. Christ has been here. Christ has died for our sins. We're lost without him. When they received that word, they were baptized. Baptism itself, hear me close now, baptism itself does not produce forgiveness and cleansing of sin. Look at verse 41. The reality of forgiveness precedes the rite of baptism. See what it says in verse 41? Those who gladly received the word were baptized. And so we see that the reality of forgiveness precedes the rite of baptism. Genuine repentance brings forth God's forgiveness of sin. And because of that repentance and receiving Christ, these new believers were now baptized. Baptism in the New Testament church was to be the ever-present act of obedience, a sacrament, if you will, like we keep today, so that it became synonymous with salvation. We have recognized Christ and have recognized and received Christ. We are then baptized. They were synonymous. They were hand in hand. They were linked. To say that one was baptized in that day meant that one was saved by their faith in Christ. They were hand in hand. Matthew 28, you remember the Great Commission. Jesus said to his disciples in 19 and 20, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them." This is the New Testament model. Tell them about Jesus. Go ye therefore, make disciples. Help them to understand Christ, who he is, what he's done, then baptize them and continue to teach and train them. That's the New Testament model. And we see that over and over throughout Acts. Acts 8, we see it in 12 and 13. We see it twice in Acts 8. Verse 12 in Acts 8 said, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself also believed, and then he was baptized. He continued then with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and signs which were done." There's another example also in Acts chapter 8 of the Ethiopian eunuch. You know that story, I think, who was reading from the Old Testament of Isaiah, and he was wondering about what he was reading, and Philip was brought next to him in the Spirit, and Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "How can I unless somebody tells me?" You can read all about that also in Acts chapter 8. And he began to tell him about the prophet that Isaiah spoke about, and he said, "Who is it?" And Philip began to tell him about Jesus, the Christ, the one who had died for our sin, the one who had raised again. And the Ethiopian eunuch believed, the Bible said, and he saw some water, and he says, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip took him down there, having recognized the Christ, Having recognized the message of Jesus, he took him down to the water and he baptized him. That's how it worked. Their salvation, their acceptance of Christ, their knowing of Christ, and baptism was just hand in hand. People ask me, does baptism save my soul? Let me give for you a couple of scriptures for your thoughts. Number one, Ephesians 2:8. You know what this says. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Let me say it again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That begins to answer the question, does my act of baptism save my soul? For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of works. Romans 10:13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:9 says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. These verses begin to answer the question, does baptism save my soul? Repentant heart and faith in the resurrected Christ is what saves. And there's more verses to go along with that too. Let me continue to move forward. Our time is running out. Do I have to be baptized to go to heaven? I've been asked. While the New Testament believers were all instructed to be baptized upon their conversion as an outward sign of their inward decision, and so that the general public knew of what they had done, they were commanded, baptism was not the requirement for heaven. We just saw in Ephesians 2:8-9, it's our faith and the grace of God. It was commanded, however, to be baptized when you come to know him. Did everybody have that opportunity? No, not everybody did. The clearest example you know full well about in Luke 23, verses 40 to 43, is the thief on the cross right beside Jesus. You know the story? He said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't have a chance to be baptized. It was commanded, yes, but let us not be confused into thinking that it is this act of water baptism that saves my soul. It's our faith exercised in the resurrected Christ. And this baptism is an act of obedience unto God, who has called us unto himself, and a signifier of to the world, I know Jesus. Sometimes we get all hung up, I suppose, on thinking that I can do something to earn my way to heaven, including be baptized, when in reality it's your personal faith in the resurrected Christ. It's our repentance of sin. It boils down to this. I tell this to people all the time. I come to the realization I am a sinner and I need a Savior. It comes down to that. And Jesus is that Savior. And so sometimes we seem to get, you know, we perhaps get hung up on thinking that I can gain entrance into eternity by something I have done, or I've been a good person, or I've been baptized, when in reality it is your repentant heart and personal faith in the resurrected Christ. Let me close with a couple of baptisms is and baptisms is not. Baptism is not necessarily my ticket to heaven. Let us not be confused about that. My repentant heart and faith in the resurrected Christ is. Baptism is my obedience unto the command of Jesus that said, be baptized when you've trusted me. Baptism is commanded by Jesus, commanded by Peter and Paul, and was carried out by the majority, I suppose, if not all, of the New Testament believers coming to Christ. It is certainly those that had time to. The thief on the cross did not have time to be. Baptism is telling the world that you have forgiveness of sins because you have made an individual commitment to Christ. You have recognized, I am a sinner, I need a Savior, and Jesus is my Savior. Baptism is a sharing to the world, I know Jesus. And so next week when we go down to the river and those friends, young and old alike, will answer the questions, the first question that they will answer, do you have assurance of your faith, your salvation in Christ? That's the first question they will answer. And they will answer two or three or four more as we go down to the river and baptize them to show to you the world, you that will come down and watch with them and celebrate with them, to show to you the world, I have a Savior and His name is Jesus. That's why we do it. And so let me just conclude with this. Then we'll sing our last song. We cannot work our way to heaven. We cannot be baptized. We could be baptized once a week, and if our heart is not repentant and we've not received Christ as Savior, it doesn't matter. We cannot work our way to heaven. It's our faith in Christ. It's our repentant attitude, our repentant heart. Works won't get us there. But baptism is a sacrament that we hold very true, very dear, commanded by Jesus to show I have made that decision for Jesus. And I want to show the world I know Christ as Lord. And so I hope this answers some questions for some, because I know there has been some questions. I know that some have wrestled in their mind, how many times do I have to be baptized? Well, I guess that's up to you and the Lord. Sometimes churches themselves require a new baptism to their church. You know, that's up to you and the Lord, however you feel about that. But if the Lord is impressing upon you, you've not been baptized, you've come to know Him as Christ, you've come to know Him as Messiah and Lord, maybe it is time. Maybe it is time to be baptized, just to show the world, I know the Savior. That's up to you and God. And so if you want to be baptized next Sunday, that's what we're going to do. If you don't like to be, as some people put it, dunked, then we can baptize you here in the church also by pouring, by sprinkling. But we want you to know that baptism is important. And so we will go down to the river and we will have a great celebration. A number of years ago, Sandy's daughter's daughter was going to be baptized too. And she was a little bit afraid because she didn't know anything about this river baptism kind of thing. And Sandy encouraged her by saying, he'll only hold you down 2-3 minutes. So she was ready then. But I'll not hold you down 2-3 minutes. It is a wonderful celebration that we do together though. So if you've not been and you want to be, God is touching your heart. Next week we're going to do that. You know what, friends? Maybe you're here today and you've heard something that I've said. Maybe you haven't taken the first step. Maybe you haven't come to that point of complete repentance and complete surrender to Christ. If that's the case, that's the first step. We need to recognize we're a sinner that needs a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. And that's a simple thing. God has made salvation so easy for us, hasn't He? His grace is so good and so available and so necessary. Maybe you're here this morning and you just need to say between you and God, Father, forgive me. I've been doing things on my own. I too need a Savior. And I want Jesus to be part of my life. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Maybe that's the first step that's got to be done today. And if that's the case, you let me know, because I want to follow up with you. And we want to pray with you. And in time, we'd like to baptize you. But that's the first step. You know what, friends? God knows your heart. People all around us, family, friends, church folks, co-workers, they may think you got it all together with Christ. But if we haven't taken step number one by repenting of our past, repenting of our sin, and inviting Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, we haven't been, as Jesus said, born again. That's step number one.